And I'm very pleased to have Rob in the studio here this morning to talk a little bit about himself and the new role that he has in the Armidale community. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for coming
morning,
in.
Morning, Peter. Pleasure.
And congratulations on being successful, getting the at becoming the new manager for 2ARMFM.
Thank you, Peter. Well, big shoes to fill with the two co-managers, yourself and Mike Keane, and both of you have done a wonderful job over the last 4 years, and of course staying on the management committee, thank goodness, because
we're not going anywhere.
Good. It's a very steep learning curve for me. Although I've been in lots of management roles, I've never been involved with managing a radio station, so it'll be quite unique and something that's going all the time, and with the potential of lots of things going wrong, but very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I like you, and I came here, knew nothing about radio either, but you learn very quickly, and of course, as I think you mentioned, you've been involved in a number of other management roles, and the skills are transferable, aren't they? So speaking of that, what has been your involvement in various groups, community, business and otherwise, in Armidale? Because you've got a fairly long history here in Armidale.
A long history. I equate it to a particular song. I think I mentioned it to you, a Jeff St. John song called Big Time Operator. Not that I've ever been a big time operator, but in that song he mentions all the different things he's been and reminds me of my career, which started the first 20 years of my career were in retail because my family, I come from a retail background. But after 20 years, I realised that it probably wasn't the vocation I wanted to continue with the rest of my working life. And so I was very lucky to be able to transfer into now for something completely different into the employment sector. And I went to Jobs Australia to do a computer course, a six-week computer course, and left 13 years later. And really, really enjoyed that. I worked with, for most of the time, with long-term unemployed people. And I found that really satisfying, although quite stressful, and not that they were stressful, they were mostly fantastic people. The fact that it was difficult to get employment for them, and I took that responsibility very seriously. And after 13 years, I was a little bit burnt out by that role, and so I took a redundancy, and sort of floated around for a year and did different things. I ran a workshop for an Aboriginal corporation, which was really enjoyable, stressful, because I didn't know, I felt a huge sense of obligation to get it right, being a non-Aboriginal person. But it came together with the help of the Aboriginal community in Armidale. And I did a few other things in that year. That was 2013. Then the end of that year, I applied for a job as a manager for a disability agency, organisation called Care for Children with Disabilities. And never having been in that sector, but again, having been in the management sector, and I got that position. And on the very first day, I sat there and I thought, I know nothing about this, and there was no one there who actually could enlighten me. And over time, I was lucky. I had a very good a good committee and a really great president, a lady called Robin Rogers, who worked actually in the same building and was really supportive. In fact, we started on the same day. I started in the paid role on that day. She started as the president on the same day. So it was very much the blind leading the blind, but she was really supportive. So I stayed in that sector for 5 years. We actually did a transfer of business to the Ascent Group after 3 years when NDIS came in. And we'd actually registered for NDIS successfully. However, at that stage we thought we were going to be too small. We were what they called a micro business, and so we transferred to a larger organisation. And I believe that, and I unfortunately only had 2 years out there at the Ascent Group, but I believe the and they registered the name Ascent Care for Children, which I believe is still going. A very rewarding job. I just have to give so much credit not only to the clients that I had, but also to the families, because of the very stressful for the families. It's a big commitment for their life, and they were just remarkable. And so it was a good sector to be in. And after that, the last 3 years, you mentioned community activities, and I sort of have all for years been involved in different committees. I became involved with the Armidale Ratepayers Association, ARRA, at that point when I left Ascent in 2019, and I'm still with ARRA. And we're kind of a lobby group, and particularly keeping an eye on what council's up to. And I'm also now back involved with Jobs Australia, but on their board. To our MFM on the management committee. So I'm on a morning tea roster at my church. So I've stayed involved, and that brings me up to date.
Yeah. So with management job, it has. I think one thing that when hearing you talk there's a lot of. Organisations in town that have voluntary groups that also have a corporate side, and I suppose the reason why we've got somebody we've had to get a paid manager is the reality that all voluntary organisations by their nature can become quite big or have a lot of responsibilities that really it's very hard to enact as a volunteer, unpaid volunteer, because people who are volunteers like to come and help for whatever amount of time they got. It's very hard to get someone to take on a full-time responsibility for an organisation in a volunteer mode, purely and simply because the responsibilities, and you talked about stressful and being able to support all the people working in those organisations. So the reality is it in most of these organisations, and now us, we're having to get somebody to actually do it in a paid capacity so they can take that responsibility and ensure that there's someone there to be able to do it. I don't know too many of these organisations, and we've been able to do it for the last 20 years. I think it's 20 years since we've had a paid manager at 2ARMFM. But the reality that management job has changed significantly in the time, and when all the things that we have here, that we are responsible to the community and to the various government agencies that set our rules and regulations and the premises in which we operate. And so therefore, how do you see your working with the community and getting them engaged?
Well, you touched on a lot of issues there, Peter, and as I said earlier, what you and Mike and the committee have done have been quite remarkable, but particularly you two, Mike on the technical side, which is obviously very important at a radio station.
Yes, certainly.
And I, just up being up here yesterday evening with you, I realised, and you have said it, how much more is coming in sort of this way, our way, with sponsorship, with people wanting to be involved, interviews such as the one you've just done with Patrick O'Donnell, and that increasingly becomes overwhelming for a volunteer manager. So, yeah, to answer your question, one thing that I'm really aware of is the role of a manager, and I'll touch on a few other things, but I'll just mention this first, is the importance of, and you talk about the volunteer committee, and they're usually, as often as not, really great people who are prepared to give up their time for nothing. But it's a big responsibility, the fiduciary duties that go with it, and people need to realise that in the way they act. And I see a role as a manager, and I did this at Care for Children, of of actually protecting the management committee, making sure that you don't put them in harm's way, because they're there doing something for nothing. But it's actually there are risks involved too. If someone on air says the wrong thing, or the manager does the wrong thing, I always say the manager can lose their job and the committee can go to jail. But that's an extreme example. But so making sure the management committee are safe and well informed. On the other side, working with the volunteer base, which is quite considerable here, being announcers, and that's something I haven't had a lot of experience with. In management roles, I've had lots of staff over the years, whether I've been employed as a manager or self-employed as a manager, and you're paying those people. Well, you still need to be respectful to them, whether you're paying them or not. But if you're not paying them, it's a different ball game altogether. Mm-hmm. If you push them too hard, they can just say, "Well, I don't." I'm doing this in a sense as a favour. I mean, a lot of them like what they do, but they don't have to do it. It's not their livelihood. So the intricacies of managing volunteers, obviously, there's a lot of compliance with any organisation, and this one's no different to others. The compliance is with the different agencies that we're responsible to make sure we're ticking all the boxes, and getting new sponsorships is very important to the ongoing well-being of the station. The station can't, as you always say, and all the announcers say in their acknowledgement of sponsors, we couldn't do it without them, and that's a plain fact. And so encouraging more people to become sponsors, and I think the people who listen to the station is I'm sure that's increasing, they're just some of the myriad of roles that I see they'll be playing.
Okay, look, if we can switch to one of your other hats before we finish today, you're an active member of the Armidale Ratepayers Association, and we all know that it was a fairly significant meeting. Not that the Ratepayers Association had anything to do with the organisation, but I know you were very actively involved in participating in this meeting last Wednesday night at the Armidale Town Hall regarding the suggested rate rise, or the 50% rate increase that the council is pushing at the moment. Could you tell us a bit about how that meeting went and what you saw were the main features to come out of that particular meeting?
I certainly will, Peter, and if you don't mind, I might just rattle through some dot points I've written down, because it was quite complex and the issue is quite complex.
Yeah.
As you say, the Ratepayers Association have been very involved in different issues, and for me, particularly the water issue, and I did ask a question on that about the Adam Marshall has managed to earmark $27 million for the raising of the Malpas Dam wall, but that's still pending a business case that council have to put to the state government, and that still hasn't been done. It is in the process of being done. I believe they're using New South Wales Public Works to do that business case, so I'm hoping all will be well there. But I'll specifically talk about the outcome of the discussion around the 50% SRV. So I'll rattle through some dot points if you don't mind. So it commenced with I'd call it a sales pitch, and I don't say that in a derogatory way, from the Mayor, Sam Copeland, and I've been to a few of these meetings, and it's pretty much the same message all the time, that we're the council's in not great financial shape, our infrastructure's failing in areas, particularly roads, drains and what have you, and that's why we need this 50% SRV, special rate variation, I'll refer to it an SRV, plus an 8% rate peg. So we're talking about a 58% rate increase on the land value component, and it's important to mention that of people's rate notices, and this will be over 3 years. I was hoping that it would be a real town hall type meeting, and it was. It didn't disappoint in that way. It was respectful, but to use that political term, robust. And the town hall was packed. People were upstairs. It was quite obvious when question time commenced that there's no appetite for a really significant rate increase. And I think the council, unfortunately, by requesting this and doing it over a three-year period and the 8% rate peg, they've kind of overcomplicated it to the point where a lot of people still don't fully understand what's going on. And it reminds me, I've mentioned this to you, of John Hewson trying to sell the GST and stumbling with his detail on applying GST to a birthday cake, and that basically lost him the election. One person mentioned the millions spent on the first administrator in 2016-17 and how much of that was, in their opinion, and probably mine, unwisely spent. A prevailing comment and question at the public meeting was the disincentive of a 50% SRV for people considering relocating to our area. And a lot of people are saying this. We've heard similar comments at our ratepayers' meetings. ARC want 10,000 more people to move to our region by 2040 with 4,000 new jobs, and a 58% rate increase on our land value isn't the way to be doing this. The mayor made the comment that, yes, it's a high figure. He acknowledges that. However, that it will be a one-off. Now, in 2014, Armidale Jumeirah Council imposed a temporary 8.5 special SRV, special rate variation, which would come off after 7 years. The 7 years finished in June last year, and the former council of seven immediately reimposed it. So we can't be totally confident when the mayor says this will be it. You know, we're doing it big and once. But we can't be totally confident that's the case, that they might turn around and say, well, we actually need more money now. It's also important to remember that there have been actually three rate increases since July 2020, a significant water rate increase, an 8.5% special rate variation, and a 1.9% additional rate variation. To finish on this topic, I think that most people agree that we need a modest rate increase, maybe as high as 25%. However, 50% is unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's obviously still a long way to go. I don't know how the Gyra meeting went. Well, Mumby one, I think they've all been held since. But it's good to see that at least the council's being accountable directly to the to its community by holding these public meetings. And by the sound of it, it was extremely well attended and very active. Is that correct?
Your observation? It was. And look, I pay my dues to council for the work they've put into this. Mm. However, I still don't agree with it. it was very active. It was respectful, but there were some very good questions asked. I haven't talked to my mate Rob Lenehan and Gyra yet. I will today if I can. I'd imagine that would have been even more robust because they have other issues. Mm. They're two big, significant issues up there, as you know about, are their wish, among some of them, for a demerger. And also another really important one is they want their dam wall raised as well. And the council say that they're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. The demerger is a contentious one. I listened to Sam Copeland talking to you 2 weeks ago about that. And so, I'd like to have been a fly on the wall in Gyra.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's a long way still to go by the sound of it. And it's good to see the community interest and participation. And I think in this day too, when a lot of these sorts of forums aren't run very respectfully, and particularly coupled with social media and the ratsness that can be at times, it's good to see that these very robust debates can be held in the spirit that you would think they'd be intended to, and hopefully come up with some result, whether it's successful, what the council wants, whether it's a compromise, or whether it ends up just not going ahead at all, and have to look at other options. At least it's all being done in a spirit of consultation.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have an SRV. I personally don't believe IPART, Independent Regulatory Pricing Tribunal, will approve a 50% SRV. And once they get the community feedback, and that'll all flow back to them, yeah. You know, even the result of the town hall meeting. Yeah, one thing that was, I'll quickly say this, I find interesting at these meetings is the difference between the rhetoric from the politician, and Sam's a political person, of course. He's smooth in his delivery, and I say that complimentarily in a complimentary way. But then you listen to the actual senior officers, and they're much more direct, and sometimes they'll say things that the politician might think, nah, I'd rather you hadn't said that, but you get both points of views that way.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that, Bob. Very interesting observations there. And clearly, the Ratepayers Association will no doubt... we will hear more from them either here and through other forums as well about their views on this and other aspects other aspects of the council policies and projects that are pending, particularly the dam wall. And so might have to see if I can arrange someone to come in and have a talk with us at some stage in the next month or so. Okay, thank you very much.
I just say, just very quickly, Peter, that just really encourage everyone, anyone listening today, but anyone to put in a submission to council. It's easy to get onto their website and do that. The date is, I think it closes on the 29th of September. We'll certainly have our submission in well before that.
Okay. Okay, Rob, thanks very much for that. And as I said, we're very pleased to have you here as part of our group. By the way, Rob has been on our management committee for the last few years and been very active on that, and will now be our manager to ARMFM, so you'll be hearing a lot more from him.